Well, we'll be in the scriptures, of course, tonight before we go to pray. So let's start over in the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter. And I'd sort of like to preface this that we want to look at tonight with something that I read that encouraged me and convicted me too. There's a little book, if you can find it in print, I don't know. We've had it for decades. It's called the Book of Uncommon Prayer. Yep, a couple of you heard of that. It's the prayer life or the pulpit prayer life of Joseph Parker. And he's got this series called Preaching Through the Bible. That's not an exaggeration. The books go from about here to here. And it's virtually every chapter in the Bible that he touched on. And they recorded his praying before each sermon. I mean, this was back in the 1830s, so recorded like this, you know. So some stenographer with shorthand was just writing all this down and the sermons to boot. But reading through the book, I saw a couple of things that I just thought I would start with tonight. They are, well, this is what they are. The first one goes like this, and this is just a portion of it. So help us, he says, help us by all means to become men in Christ Jesus, wise, understanding, strong, patient men, knowing thy will and doing it, accepting thy purpose and suffering it. And at last may we be found to have glorified thee, whether in life or in death, or in heroic service, or in heroic endurance. And that struck me because a lot of the Church of Christ, the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're all called to service. We are all called as servants of the King. You know that. But when he says to glorify thee in heroic service, we typically think of what? We think of the missionary. Or we think of someone who is, I don't know, rolling bandages at the hospital, someone who is in the name of Christ, like Mueller, blessing an orphanage with his prayer life, things that are very public and very open for all to see. And that's fine. That's a fine interpretation of it. And so you'd think, well, this prayer doesn't affect me, until he gets down to this, that we might be found to have glorified thee in our heroic endurance. And we're all called to that, aren't we? To endure, to wait, to persevere, to press on, or to change the word up a bit, to watch and not go to sleep, to keep ourselves alert and awake and always be dressed in readiness. Just think of Matthew 25 and not 28, but the thought is everywhere in the scripture, and it's common in the experience of God's people. All right, how shall we? I've got this book at home, maybe you've read it. It's Francis Schaeffer and some other person, maybe it was, can't remember his name. How then shall we live, or how shall we then live? Or the word order always tripped me a bit, but how do we do this? How shall we live? How shall we do this? How does a people glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, whether in life or in death or in heroic service or in heroic endurance? And this is where our verse is so comforting for tonight. Matthew 28, are you there with me? Well, the very, very, very end of it, verses 18 through 20, go like this. And our Lord Jesus came up and spoke to them. This is right before he was taken up. And he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That's encouraging, isn't it? He's not just a God of the hills, but not a God of the valleys. He's a God of all things, the God in the heavens, the God on the earth. All authority is his. Write that in our hearts and underline it. All authority is his. And so he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Now that's up to that semicolon there. You've got commandment. And now listen, a promise. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And we read the book of Acts and we say, well, he made good that promise. And we read the epistles and we say, and we still see the evidences of these things. But by the time we get over to 1 John, right, we see false teachers creeping in. We see the cults making headways. We see any number of false things that are trying to surface. And we say, no, we don't say it, but it could be said. Where's the Lord's presence? Where is the promise? Well, what did he say? The end of the age. Not the end of the apostolic age, not the end of the enlightened age, not the end of this age or that age, but the age. This whole time where we're waiting for him to return is the age. And at the end of it, when the lightning flashes from the east to the west and the Son of Man appears like that, that will be the end. And his promise is that whatever our experiences and whatever our circumstances, he's going to be with us, right? Listen. All that took place that what was spoken by the Lord to the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Saint, do you know that God is with you all the days, even to the end of the age? He's with us when we go off to the hospital. He's with us when we are in our sick bed. He is with us when the doctors don't know what's going on. He's with us. He is with us. He's with us in heroic service. He's with us in heroic endurance. Now, I'd like us to look at a couple of places that just prove that last point. And I think they're very encouraging to consider this, because it's not always one unbroken success for the people of God, is it? This just the thought that we might have to endure something suggests powerfully that everything is not going to go swimmingly. We're not going to get up every Monday morning and there's the guys there from Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes saying, you've won it again. You know, what do you want us to do with these millions? That's not going to happen. I can guarantee it will not happen to me. But life is not like that, is it? Well, what do we find in Acts? Are you with me in Acts 26? Perhaps not. But look at Acts 26. This is this great place where Paul stands before Agrippa. Now, he's been at this point a couple of years in Caesarea, kept in some sort of prison-type situation. This is down at the coast, Caesarea Maritima. We got to go there, and we got to see the ruins of Herod's great palace right there on the waterfront. He's there. Paul's there. And the first person that was the governor residing there at the time was Felix. And then Felix is succeeded by Festus. And Festus is the fellow that says to Paul, hey, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem to stand trial on these charges? And he says, look, there's no reason for this. He sniffs out the trap and he says, there's no reason for that. I'm not afraid to die. But look, I'm standing before Caesar's tribunal where I should be tried. And then he goes ahead and he finally appeals to Caesar. And he says, all right, to Caesar you'll go. And a few days later, Agrippa, King Agrippa, comes down with his wife and they're talking and all this stuff goes on. I'm just trying to set this up. And Agrippa Festus lays out this whole thing before Agrippa. And Agrippa says, I'd like to hear him. I said, tomorrow you will. And so they get all together and they parade Paul in. And he's got chains on. Can't you hear him clanking into the room? Clink, clank, clink, clank. They jingle as he walks. It's like wearing spurs. And so he is allowed to speak for himself, and he thanks them. He's very polite about this, and you can read all this upstream. You can read all his defense that he makes. But then he tells them his conversion experience. And from verse 14 through 18, we have quotes from the Lord Jesus himself that came to Paul. And he says in verse 19, "Consequently, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but I kept declaring both to those of Damascus first, and also at Jerusalem, and then throughout all the region of Judea, and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. For this reason, some Jews seized me in the temple, and they tried to put me to death. And so," and here comes the phrase I want you to fix on, "having obtained help from God, I stand to this day, testifying both to small and to great." Now let's stop for a moment, Steve. What's he just said? What have we just read? Here's a man says, "I've been in prison wearing these chains for 2 years, and yet I have had help from God." Is that sweet? There's no fault finding with the Almighty here. There's no spirit of vitriol or anger. He's not upset with the Lord Jesus. He's very patiently waiting to see the will of the Lord done. But then what he says is, "He's helping me. I'm in this prison. He's helping me. There is still within me the desire to preach the kingdom of God, even to the great ones of the earth. I will declare this. Whoever will listen, let me speak about the name of Christ Jesus. There is both heroic service and heroic endurance being displayed in this one chapter. And why is it so? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, this is not just a New Testament phenomenon. As wonderful as that is, you'll find the same thing way over in the book of Genesis. And if you'd like to go there, it's chapter 39. And this is when dear little Joseph is sold into slavery. And the very first verse of Genesis 39 says that Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Now, again, pause. Why is he there? Who got him there? You mean to tell me that, what's their names? We ought to go through these rascals' names from time to time. Asher, Dan, Gad, Naphtali, Issachar, Judah, on and on it goes. These are the guys. And they didn't like their brother. And so they sell him to this caravan going down to Egypt. So Joseph taken down. And Potiphar going on here, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him. Okay, he's like a loaf of bread on the shelf, and he's bought. They bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. There's some indignities that we can't even imagine. The thought of being purchased, being owned by someone, it's foreign to our thinking. But it was part of his experience. But verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. There again, isn't that sweet? And so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the master saw, verse 3, that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. Now, we have heroic service here. In the midst of this tremendous indignity, we have this heroic service. All right, you know how the rest of the story goes, don't you? It came about when his master, verse 19, heard the words of his wife, which she lied about, Joseph, which she spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," that his anger burned, Potiphar's anger burned, and Joseph's master took him, put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in jail. Aren't you glad he wasn't put to death? I suppose he could have been, except the Lord would not allow that. But verse 21, you see it again. The Lord's with him. The Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him, And he gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And now what you're going to see at this point is heroic endurance. While the man waits and waits and waits, and things take a slight turn for the better in the fact that he has favor in the sight of the jailer, but he's there. And he tells there's a couple other guys there. He says, hey, when you get out, and you're going to get out, remember me. And so they get out just like he says, and they go up to the Pharaoh and they forget him. Help us by all means to become men in Christ Jesus, wise, understanding, strong, patient men, knowing thy will and doing it, accepting thy purpose and suffering it. And at last, may we be found to have glorified thee, whether in life or in death or in heroic service or in heroic endurance. And this we shall do, because God is with us. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's go back and look at that one more time. Back to the New Testament, back to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Okay. This is the Great Commission. But it's prefaced with this. All authority has been handed over to the Lord Jesus. Whether it's authority in the heavens, over things, principalities and powers, rulers and authorities and dominions in the heavenly places, Christ is over all of it. Or whether it's things on the earth, created things, men, whatever it might be, height, depth, trials, situations, blessings, he's over all of it. National governments, international conglomerates, he's over it all. He doesn't tip his hand all often, does he? But he's over it all, and he's using it all despite them. And that's how he can then go on to say, verse 19, now you go, therefore, and you make disciples of all the nations, as if to say what? It's going to happen. Your preaching is going to tell. People are going to listen. Not everybody, but it's going to happen. Disciples are going to be made of the nations. Baptisms are going to go on in the name of the Father and of the Son. People are going to receive the gift of God by the Holy Spirit. They're going to be taught. They're going to be willing to observe all that Jesus commanded them. They're going to spread what they've been through the last 3 years, and they're going to share it from, it's going to go out like ripples in a pond. Why? Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And all authority has been given in heaven and on earth. Well, saints, our time is gone, but I hope that something of the encouragement of that sweet name, Emmanuel, can steal over our hearts, and we can say in the depth of our being, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Why? Because God is with me. He is with me in the prison. He's with me in the jailhouse. He is with me when I'm successful. He's with me when my brothers sell me out. He is with me when I'm standing before the great ones of the earth, or when I'm sharing with one little slave girl. He's with me. And he's with you. Let's pray.